Revelation, the chapter number 14, verses number 5 through 13. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do fall of them. Verse number 5. In the mouth of the 144,000 was found no guile. They are without fault before the throne of God. The chapter number 21, verse number 27, confirms that. Into the holy city in no wise enters anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination, nor makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter number 17, verse number 14, gives more confirmation to these facts. And they that are with the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. The Epistle of James, chapter number 3, verse number 2, admits our side of the truth. In many things we offend all. As in many other questions, the Apostle Paul is guiding us toward clearer understanding and deeper insight. First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 15, verses number 51 and 52, tell us, We shall all be changed in a moment, at the last trump. Epistle to the Philippians, chapter number 3, verses number 8 through 15. Unveil Paul's confession and encouragement to us. Our Father loves us in Christ and considers us perfect on Christ's merit. He is changing us now toward His perfection. Our Father's love for all that is Christ's in us is our encouragement to grow toward perfection, not to be weary because of our imperfection and deficiency, not to be slack since God loves me anyway, not to grieve His Holy Spirit, but be humble in our confession and fervent in our service. We are far from perfection in our flesh. In Christ, we are faultless before our Father's throne. Oh, the amazing grace and patience of our Heavenly Father in His dear Son, our Lord and Savior. Verse number 6. John saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, one for all men. This angel is a heavenly messenger. All the redeemed from sin and death that still labor in this world of sin and darkness all spread the same heavenly message. The gospel of salvation only by God's grace, only on Christ's merit, received by faith alone and manifested in faithfulness alone. From the first to the last verse of the entire Holy Scripture, it is the everlasting gospel. All God's children proclaim this gospel and confirm their testimony by living it, prepared to die for it. They are joined, supported, and protected by the heavenly messengers. The battle is not ended yet. The victory is certain. The message is declared to every person, group, nation, and language. If any person or group professes faith in Christ but denies the gospel invitation to any man or race, that professing person or group knows not our Lord and Savior. The whole gospel is not in their hearts. When we see the humanity reveling in sin, groping in darkness, deaf for the gospel, blind for the truth, let us continue in prayers and praises, in witnessing by godly example and words. The real victory is secured. We are Christ's soldiers. He is our captain. We are His laborers. He our master. All three angels declare important parts of the saving gospel and dire judgment for rejection of it. Verse number 7. It is a loud testimony. Fear God and glorify Him. His judgment is now. Worship the Creator. This is not a gospel of sin tolerance. This is not a gospel to scare us into blind carnal idol worship. The true gospel demands our highest reverence for the God worthy of eternal honor and glory. We owe our heart and mind, soul and body to the most holy judge of sin, the one always true and righteous, the only one that never judges wrongly. We rightly fear our offense against Him. The true God is not a mean spirit that we would be scared from Him. The ever-living One is holy and majestic. He is not an idol or a man with unpredictable temper. Our Lord told us what is pleasing Him and also good for our soul and body. His commandments are not obstacles to us. His precepts are accommodating our needs. The fear of God is loyal adoration in the highest reverence, the deepest gratitude, and endless longing for full obedience. All that men do in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus, all in the gospel teaching, is glorifying our Heavenly Father. It is glory to our Father when a tearful sinner cries, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 18, verses number 13 and 14. When a former leper worships our Lord with unrestrained gratitude for healing. When Stephen, facing martyrdom, delivers a brilliant sermon, not defending himself, but Christ's gospel. Acts chapter number 6. It is glory to our Father when our Lord and Savior condemns hypocrisy. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 11, verse number 44. When our Lord cleanses the temple, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 21, verse number 12. Throughout this book is the glory of our Father God, and from eternity and in endless eternity, our God's glory fills the universe. He calls us to enter in. Next part of this verse number 7 tells us that we owe reverence and glory to our God, for the hour of His judgment is come. In the Gospel according to John chapter number 12 verse number 31, now is the judgment of this world and its prince casting out. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 11 verses number 31 and 32, our Lord tells, the Queen of the South shall condemn the impenitent generation. the men of Nineveh condemn indifference toward the gospel. Our God's condemnation has been manifested right after the first lie, after the first murder, in the great flood, in the days of Lot. God's condemnation of evil is in His eternal character and in His creation since Adam's fall. Many signs of our God's displeasure are revealed. In the history of humanity, in the history of Israel, in this revelation and in the experience of every man. The Holy Scriptures declare the message of our God's grace and justice, mercy and condemnation. Nothing and nobody can discount His holiness. The very existence of and all the changes in the entire creation testify of God's goodness and holiness. This is a constant invitation for every man to adore the Creator. By ignoring or rejecting God's order in His creation, men refuse His blessings and choose to experience His judgments. God's judgment of our contemporaries is now, while His mercy and grace are still being offered. We honor our Father by heralding His final judgment and proclaiming His day of salvation in Christ, the only Redeemer of all penitent sinners. Our testimony is true when we live accordingly. Verse number 8. Another angel declares, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Some men suggest that this city is the tower in the book of Genesis, chapter number 11, verse number 14. Others think it is the capital of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. Others would try to prove that this must be Jerusalem. Some others point to Rome. I think all of them are right in their words, in part. All is included. The fallen Babylon is the fallen humanity. Since when this city is fallen? Since man started building upon the foundation of sin deception. Before the blinded man laid a stone upon a stone, and until there will be left no stone upon a stone, that city is fallen. The awful destruction is in the sinful construction. Our Father gives us the privilege missed by many blind sinners to see the world in darkness as it is, fallen, fallen. It is essential for our proper focus, perspective, and undivided wholehearted adoration, for our brave and cheerful fight on the battlefield, for our eager labor in our Master's vineyard, for our unwavering separation from sin and darkness, never to doubt this truth. Babylon is fallen. When we know that all sinful plans and achievements are fallen, while they are still raging against our heavenly citizenship, our spiritual eyesight is free to behold constant victories of the Lord, the Lamb of God, and our soul is free to thrive in expectation of our King's final and eternal triumph. That is faith of our brother Stephen, facing martyrdom but seeing the open heaven. That is faith of our elder Peter, sleeping in double shackles between two guards in anticipation of martyrdom in the book of Acts chapter number 12. That is faith of our apostle Paul and brother Silas in the book of Acts chapter number 16, verses number 16 through 34. That is true, genuine faith. After suffering so much and observing our Lord's power in Philippi, they, Paul and Silas, preached the gospel boldly in Thessalonica, the Acts chapter number 17. That is the faith and testimony of the 144,000 on the Mount Zion that follow the Lamb wherever He leads them. The faith of and in the Lamb, our eternal King Jesus. Here and today, when we pray for that faith and confidence in Him and embrace these virtues, we are also on the Mount Zion with our soul's royal bridegroom. Yes, Babylon is fallen, and our God's Lamb stands on the Mount Zion with 144,000 that He has redeemed from among men. The fallen city is great, not because of the multitude of her citizens and subjects, not because anything can be great and glorious in sin and death. She is great with satanic deception and cruel wickedness. Our God's justice and judgment against her is infinitely greater and more powerful here, now, and forever. She made all nations drink the wine of her raging immorality, corruption, and manifold decay. All men offer some influence one to another. Our manner of living day by day, our labor and results of it, tell the people around us whether we follow the Lamb or the God of this dead world, fallen world. Large cities with millions of people, millionaires in luxury, sick and starving in ghettos, university misusing and abusing the wonders of our God's creation to deny our Creator's existence, religious centers studying the Bible to preach perversion, all are that fallen, fallen Babylon. Yes, I have no doubts that Rome, Jerusalem, London, New York, Tokyo, Moscow, Peking, and many others all over this world in sin are only parts of the great fallen Babylon, the humanity dead in sin, as we all were. Till the merciful, mighty arm of our crucified and risen Lord delivered us. The wine is attractive to all deceived, but it is the deadly poison to all trapped in its addiction. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, that last night wickedness was raging. But in the morning, the sign of our God's just indignation was clearly manifested. Their smoke rises on and on before our eyes of faith in our God. Verses 9 and 10. The third angel declared with a loud voice one more essential part of the genuine gospel message. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or on his hand, the same shall drink the wine of God's wrath in full strength poured into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone before the Lamb and His holy angels. There are many opinions concerning our Creator's character. I am under strong impression that all the opinions are influenced by the writer's or speaker's knowledge and ignorance, mine also. I wonder if some denominational teaching is false by purpose or presented in sincere ignorance. Here we see the three angels presenting three essential teachings of the true gospel. Another fundamental gospel teaching is mercy, grace, and eternal love of God. This teaching is not verbally expressed in the verses number 6 through 11. But is strongly implied in the messages of the three angels. The loud calls to worship our Creator, to be mindful of Babylon's faith and the consequences of false worship are strong and clear indications of our God's loving care and salvation offer. False teachings present our God as a cruel judge that has pleasure in condemning man for the least sin. Presenting our Lord as indifferent or tolerant to intentional disobedience and deliberate sin is another extreme, also false. Our God is holy, just, righteous, merciful, and loving as He reveals in His Word. He is not like some imagination or personal perception of a carnal, sinful mind. Our God has revealed Himself in the Holy Scriptures as much as we need to learn how to seek and find Him, how to trust and obey Him. If we heed His invitation, refuse Babylonian deception, God gives us all we need to live in the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, the only safe position for us all. Men that ignore our Creator's evidence in the nature around them, reject our Lord's call to true worship, and despise His gospel warning concerning sinful, carnal existence in Babylon, elect to worship the beast and his image. These are Satan's marks on their forehead and their right hand. Rebellion against our God is the path of suicide. Rejection of the gospel salvation is also self-condemnation. Our Lord's judgment of all evil is just and sure. None can escape. Signs of our God's condemnation are evident in the Scriptures and in the extra-biblical evidences of our time. Rebels suffer already in the time of their disobedience. Contrary to the happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment feigned by many, the world in darkness is very unhappy. Sinners get sick, have accidents, and suffer loss of possessions. They also suffer envy, hatred, bitterness, and anxiety. Until God's final judgment, all temporal consequences of foolish rebellion do not silence nor stop God's invitation to the Savior and His offer of mercy and salvation. After all temporal disappointments, sinners do face God's just and righteous judgment. His mercy, God's mercy, must not be taken as sin tolerance. Their torment in eternity includes this bitter awareness, their long-time rejection of the only salvation no more available. Our Lord and only Savior now is their just judge. All godlessness is condemned. The faithful witnesses, often rejected and afflicted, now in eternity see the judgment they are redeemed from. Verse number 11. The smoke of sinners' torment ascends up forever and ever. The beast and his image, or the marks of his name, give no rest to their false worshippers. The verse number 9 says, if any man worships the beast. Verse number 10 declares, the same shall face God's judgment. The verse number 9 is in the present tense. The verse number 10 in the future tense, and the verse number 11 is everlasting, eternity. The present time is our decision making. When the future becomes experience, the man that made wise decision shall rejoice and not desire to change it. The people that made wrong, foolish decisions will not be able to change their eternal destiny. Our God never fails. He will not compromise His grace and judgment. Noah's testimony lasted many decades. The great flood is a clear sign of our God's displeasure with sinners' rebellion. In the third chapter of the book of the prophet Jonah, our God sends this prophet to Nineveh, a wicked city, to herald our Lord's judgment against the people's evil doing. A marvelous repentance flooded the nation, and in the verse number 10, our Savior's patience and mercy has been revealed and confirmed to the penitent men. Perhaps only 100 to 150 years after Jonah's prophecy, the prophet Nahum declares the burden of Nineveh. God's wrath is reserved for His enemies. Chapter number 1, verses number 1, 2, and 3. the Lord, slow to anger, and great in power, does not acquit wickedness. Our Almighty God is holy in His mercy and holy in His judgment. We see in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 41, two sides of humanity. True repentance of former sinners condemns rebellion of stubborn, impenitent evildoers. Salvation is not in anyone's ancestry or affiliation. Salvation is only in Christ, received by faith, witnessed in faithfulness, rewarded now and forever. In this verse number 11, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. That includes all the signs of our God's just judgment. From the cities of the plain, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 13, verse number 12, to the place in the second epistle of Peter, chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10. None of our fathers faithful will perish, and in wickedness none can escape his justice. Christ is our Savior. As we are guided and instructed by these scriptures, the day star in the second epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 19, rises in our heart, and the Sun of Righteousness sustains our soul. The book of the prophet Malachi, chapter number 4, verse number 1. We behold the smoke ascending from Sodom's destruction. Its ashes tell and foretell consequences of sin. Our God is gracious, just, and holy. Verse number 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the keepers of God's commandments and the faith of Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is our perfect example, and all the faithful recorded in the scripture encourage us to endure in strife and suffering by the power of Christ's Spirit. In Him is great gain of everlasting value. Verse number 13. The truth sounds from heaven. Blessed are the martyrs and all that are faithful to the end. The Holy Spirit testifies, after their hard labor they enter into rest. Their good deeds are preserved, and His, Holy Spirit's fruits, multiplied. Let this testimony echo in our heart to the end of our pilgrimage, as Stephen and Paul had it in theirs. In the second epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4, verses number 6, 7, and 8, Paul tells us, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is near. I have fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. Our Lord, the righteous judge, has His crown for me and for all that love His appearing. Stephen says in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 56, the heaven is open, my King I see.